Welcome back. We're diving deep today, really deep.
Yeah, going deep.
Into the work of choreographer Ocean Duran.
Oh yeah, Ocean Duran.
Specifically, we'll be looking at excerpts from ndword.txt.
Right.
And the summary of the defining word, purpose and meaning. So yep. For everyone out there who, you know, you want to get to the core of complex ideas, but don't necessarily have time to read like whole books.
Sure.
This is for you. We're going to break it down. Look at the big ideas.
We're
going to extract like the nuggets.
The nuggets, yeah.
Of Duran's exploration of the word.
Yes. So our mission here is to really get a grasp on how Duran is using this concept. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it's a really big one and encompasses a lot from like a divine voice to even like the very essence of who we are.
Right.
And the purpose that drives us.
Like, why are we here?
Yeah. And Duran, like right out of the gate, they ask this really powerful question.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what we're here to do? Or even more so, have we made a purpose for ourselves?
Right.
It's such a central point for understanding like their whole perspective on meaning.
Yeah, you really do have to stop and think, like, are we just kind of floating along or are we like taking the reins and making it happen?
Right. Are we creating our own purpose?
Yeah, exactly. And so let's dig into that. Like, what is the word? What are we even talking about here?
Yeah, let's define it.
Duran's talking about, right away, you realize it's not just about like the words we use every day.
Right.
And actually, the glossary definition spells this out. So, word, referring to human language, individual identity or essence, and the divine word or communication from a higher power.
So it's not just one thing. It's got these different layers.
Yeah, multifaceted.
Yeah. And what I find really interesting is that it's not just three separate definitions. Duran seems to be suggesting that these things are all, like, connected.
Oh, interesting.
Human language is the tool, yes. But maybe it's a tool that shows us something deeper about who we are individually, which in turn, you know, might come from some larger divine communication. It really makes you think about the nature of communication itself, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And right from the beginning, Duran brings up this idea of like foundational power in language, especially in the context of creation. There's this really striking line. He can speak and it can be created. What is written has been because what has been spoken.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but it immediately made me think of the creation story in Genesis.
Oh, absolutely.
Where God speaks the world into being.
Yeah, it's a powerful parallel. And it's really interesting because Duran's a choreographer.
Right.
Not a theologian.
Not a biblical scholar or anything.
Right, exactly. And yet here they are drawing on this foundational narrative from Genesis. And I think it really emphasizes this idea that the spoken word is not just descriptive.
Right.
It's generative. It brings things into being.
It does. It's creative.
Yeah. And think about it. In choreography, there's a kind of speaking through movement, right? You're bringing something new into existence. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, it's like a different language almost.
Right. And I wonder if Duran sees a connection there, like a mirrored kind of creative power between choreography and the Genesis account.
That's fascinating. And so if that initial creative act was through spoken word, where do we fit into all of this?
Right, right.
How does Duran see us as individuals?
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really interesting, I think. Duran seems to suggest that each of us, in a way, is a word. There are these lines. Your word is as it's always been. For you are like an earthquake awake. And then from nothing to something is you, his word, well spoken to listen.
Like an earthquake awake.
Yeah.
What a powerful image.
I know, right?
What resonates with you about that comparison? I mean, for me, it suggests this inherent force.
Mm.
Something maybe dormant, but now active and capable of, like, huge impact.
Yeah, like, we're not just sitting there. We're a force to be reckoned with.
Exactly. And if we are these well-spoken words, as you were saying, it implies that our lives, our actions, our very being, it all carries a message.
Like a code to be deciphered.
Yeah. And what do you think, for you personally, what is that message right now? What melody are you putting out there?
Wow, that's a really good question. It makes you think about, like, are you being intentional? Are you having the impact that you want to have?
Right.
Or even just the impact you're having, regardless of your intention.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's really powerful. And this idea that we are a word leads straight into Duran's like emphasis on meaning.
Hmm.
Duran writes, but a word without meaning is only an empty themed being. So just existing or even speaking, like without substance, without purpose. It's like meaningless.
It's really highlighting the importance of intention. You know, it's not enough to just be, there needs to be this grounding in a purpose and a meaning.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever felt that as a listener, like your own word, whether it's something you said or did, it just didn't have the weight, the meaning you intended it to have?
Yeah, for sure. Like it just fell flat.
Right. It lacked resonance.
It didn't land.
It didn't land. And I think Duran's idea here really speaks to that feeling, like something's missing. It's potentially empty without that deeper significance.
Absolutely. And then Duran brings in this concept of his word, which is this divine communication. It's life-giving. We see phrases like, his word is life and describes no limits, that of good news, the gospel born from all light. And then his word has a meaning, your life, his works, alive by his breathing.
Wow.
So it seems to connect that initial creative power we were talking about to our own existence.
Yeah, the connection's so direct. His word is like the source of all vitality, mm-hmm. and our lives, our actions are imbued with this divine essence,
mm-hmm.
this breath almost. And I love that phrase, good news. It adds such a layer of like positivity to it.
Right, like hope.
Yeah, hope and potential, that this fundamental word carries a message of hope and potential.
So if this word is so important, how do we even begin to grasp it? How do we understand it?
Right. How do we tap into that?
And Duran seems to point toward introspection. There's this quote. Can it be true what is within our own cages? Be me who we are as we understand a book in its creation stages. It's like our own lives are the text we need to read, understand as it's being written.
Life is an unfolding book.
Yeah.
I like that.
And Duran gives us a very specific way to approach this reading of our own lives. Search your past not for that which can contrast, but search for the hints, tips, and direction that can complete this puzzle's piece connection. It's not about dwelling on the negative, but looking for the clues, the underlying patterns.
It's about finding the through lines.
Yes.
Those little cues that point towards a bigger picture, a bigger understanding.
And it seems like Duran believes that even like random events can hold meaning. They say, even the wind is his word for you, which your past can show.
Wow.
Like the universe is speaking to us.
It is.
And our past provides the context to understand those messages.
The wind is a gentle whisper of some greater truth. That's really beautiful imagery. It suggests that meaning isn't always obvious. It's in the little things, the subtle details of our lives.
So then Duran introduces this dichotomy, affection versus troubled mind. The creator divined another word in affection, sing now. Experience is now written and do not confine by any means. So it defines troubled mind as doubt in his word.
Right.
So it's like affection is this divinely inspired state and doubt is like the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. What strikes me is how Duran directly connects a mental state, doubt, to a lack of trust.
Right, right.
In this overarching word. And affection isn't just an emotion, it's divine.
Right.
It's something to be embraced, lived fully, without limits. It's like Duran is calling us to trust the process, to lean into positive engagement with life.
We choose affection.
Yeah.
And that connects to this idea that our individual stories are part of a larger narrative.
Right.
Duran says, above all law, his word is truth failing the fall. He has written a play for the cast of your past, the star of the show. Like we're all characters in this grand play.
Yeah. It's like a cosmic drama.
It is.
And that phrase failing the fall, it hints at this theme of redemption. Right? Mm-hmm. It suggests that even with our imperfections, our mistakes,
right,
there's this larger purpose unfolding.
It's okay. We're all human.
Exactly. And the idea that we are each the star of our own past,
right,
it emphasizes our individual agency and our significance.
We matter.
Yeah, in this bigger story.
And there's a sense of hope woven through all of this. Duran references Amazing Grace.
Oh, wow.
So we sing, I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It's about transformation, about growth.
Absolutely. That hymn is all about the journey, from ignorance to understanding, from lost to found. And by linking it to this concept of our word, Duran highlights how our essence is dynamic, it can evolve, you can gain clarity, and move toward the greater understanding.
And to really hammer home this dynamic nature, Duran uses this beautiful musical analogy, like the words in a song, we as God's word move along, like the melody, harmony, timbre, meter, dynamics, tempo, rhythm, and instruments.
Wow, that's such a beautiful image.
So vivid.
Each of us is like a unique instrument, contributing our own sound to a larger composition.
Right.
We have our own melody, our own rhythm. And when we interact, we create these harmonies. It really reinforces the idea that our individual word is both unique and a part of something so much bigger.
Exactly. And then finally, Duran touches on beginnings, on the idea of un. They say even is even, but one is prefixed, meaning beginning with un, for, or by one. And it seems to point towards a single origin, like a connection back to that initial act of creation we discussed earlier.
It's subtle, but it's so interesting. The UN as this prefix,
right?
It signifies a starting point, the singularity from which everything originates. It's like a reflection on the very genesis of the word.
In its divine sense.
Right, in its divine context, echoing that initial act of speaking in Genesis that brought everything into being.
Right. So, to bring it all together, Ocean Duran's work invites us to see the word as so much more than just spoken language. It's this powerful interconnected concept that links divine creation.
Yeah, it's almost like they're drawing on that Genesis narrative. Mm-hmm. With our own individual identities, our search for meaning, for purpose. We're not just beings who use words. We are words.
We are living words.
Living words, each with this potential for growth and significance in this larger story, this potentially divine story.
And considering this really complex perspective on the word, I think it begs the question, how might understanding yourself as a unique word with this potential divine connection, influence how you see your own purpose, the meaning you're creating in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What's the distinctive melody that your life is expressing?
That's such a great question for our listeners to ponder.
Yeah. And maybe it's worth reflecting on those hints, those tips, those directions from your own experiences as you continue to explore, to write the unfolding pages of your own life.
Your own unique story. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.
See ya.